passing of flags and banners, an era ends in the life of Afghanistan and in the U.S. as well. With a recently announced end to combat, 13 years of imperial war comes to a close. What began in bombast and braggadocio ends with virtual silence, the promises of politicians, the predictions of military domination, naught but wind. Afghanistan, the legendary graveyard of empires, still sits hardly changed, or at least hardly changed for the better. A deeply xenophobic country upon invasion and occupation, it remains so today, perhaps more so. Perhaps it is more corrupt, what with over $1 trillion U.S. dollars flooding the country. But that was virtually guaranteed when the U.S. chose an Afghanistan refugee, Hamid Karzai, gone from the country some 30 years almost, before being reinserted by the Americans. As the U.S. closes the door to war, it leaves a nation still on the brink of the abyss. For the Taliban, a U.S. CIA, Pakistani ISI, and British MI5 creation remains a power in waiting in Afghanistan, more loved by Afghans than the hated foreigners. In 2008, in conversation with a top NATO general, Karzai said, "I wish I had the Taliban as my soldiers." And while he later said he was misquoted, he had a point. For less than 6 months after he made those comments, the Taliban struck the nation's second largest city, Kandahar, and paralyzed it for 30 hours. 2 years later, it ran a parallel government, complete with judges and councils, a rebuke to the central government, known and reviled for its corruption and incompetence. The end of combat operations by U.S. and NATO forces doesn't mean the end of war. It means the beginning of the end for U.S. puppets. It means the Taliban's time has come. It also means the waste of $1 trillion U.S. dollars, thousands of American lives, and tens of thousands of Afghan lives. It means the end of an imperial dream. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.